It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Off the Woodworks special show for today, March 31st, 2020. Joining me on the line right now, number 16 of the Montreal Impact, defender Joel Waterman. Joel, thank you for joining us on this beautiful Tuesday.
Absolutely, thank you for having me.
Now, Joel, of course, the season is on a halt right now, and everyone is wondering what their favorite players are doing to not only keep fitness, but also to keep sanity. How's the last couple of weeks been for you?
Yeah, I think keeping our sanity is the most important thing right now. I think the last couple of weeks have been difficult. Lots of living room workouts, the odd jog outside and fitness and stuff like that. Stationary bike, just stuff to try and stay sharp and stay fit during this kind of weird and uncertain time for everybody. Yeah, I know that the guys are working hard, and we're just trying to stay ready for when the season does begin.
Now, of course, it changes a lot, and early on this season, you had a chance to already be able to start a few games, and of course, now it all changes with this extended period of time off, and like you mentioned, finding your own ways to keep fitness. What is your go-to new routine now to keep a certain level of fitness, hopefully the highest level you can?
I think for me, it's just doing some kind of cardio and then weights every single day. So we have some kettlebells here given to us by the club, which is really nice to have. So we can do tons of different exercises with those. Some upper body, fitness, body weight, or push-up, body weight stuff, things of that sort. And then obviously trying to get outside to get some fresh air and, obviously keep our safe distance from others, but to also get some good cardio in too. So just trying to get a full workout as best as we can with the supplies and resources that we do have. And I know it's been good so far.
Now, I've talked about the elephant of the room of the weird times that we are in, but I want to bring you to more fun time and a fun conversation. Of course, been following you for a couple years, even before Cavalry FC in your time with the Foothills, Rovers, and Pumas before that. And of course, number 15 was a long time your number. And we're seeing with the Montreal Impact, number 16. Of course, other players might have your favorite numbers, but why 15? Why 16? Why is this number appealing to you?
15. 16 has always been my favorite number ever since I was a young kid playing. My dad actually wore number 16 while he was playing, so it's always been, kind of our favorite number and something we've kind of shared during my career. And 15 is also a good number. I got given that number at Cavalry too, so I kind of made it my own. And but 16 has always been my number, actually. So I'm grateful and blessed that I actually got my favorite number with Montreal, and just to see those jerseys out there and to be able to wear that number with my name on the back of it, it's truly special.
What does it mean, a number? Does it truly change something? Is it a familiarity that you have seeing Waterman 16? And just using as an example, maybe it could be different for other players. For you, is it something that you can take with you? Is it part of, I guess, your playing identity in a way?
Yeah, I would say so. I think if you ask any player, they have numbers that they love or numbers that they whenever you kind of see that name or whatever, you kind of recognize a number that goes along with it. And for me, that's 16. My Twitter handle is @16Waterman since the day I got it. So Yeah, it's just always something that it's been part of me, I guess you could say, and just seeing it on a jersey and kind of, you know, bolstered around Montreal. And it's always, you know, I've stuff with 16 on it at home, and it's just a recognizable number for others to kind of follow. And for me to kind of see my name with that number, it's it just kind of makes sense.
Speaking of Montreal, the fans have accepted you with arms wide open with your level of hard work rate already in the last three games and a half of this season and Champions League so far. But as a new player coming into this organization, this storied organization that's starting in 1993, when you came in, can you go through with us maybe how the process of joining a new team, a different team, a storied team, how did this whole first day in Montreal happen?
Yeah, obviously, I think you stated it perfectly. They, from the very first day, from the get-go, they opened me with open arms, the players, staff. Anybody that I came in contact with was, you know, super nice and welcomed me. And to be honest, the transition in that part was easy. It was getting to know the guys and the staff, and everybody who was a part of the organization made it super easy. So, yeah, super grateful for the opportunity that they gave me. And then also I knew coming in that it was a storied organization, and I just wanted to add to it and be a part of it. And, you know, obviously with the suspension of the league, it's hard right now because, you know, we are in good form and we are playing well, and, you know, the fans were all into it and we are connected with our fans. And that's what I love. I love using my platform to connect with the wide audience and to connect with the people that love watching us. So, but yeah, like you said, it was, open arms from day one. And, then, you know, that first day they made it super comfortable for me to kind of just come in and play my game and play football.
I know the first time that I stepped foot in the Nutrilet Training Center, I was impressed. I was surprised by the level. And I can only imagine being a player walking into this facility and seeing all the toys that are available to me. How was your first tour of Nutrilet Training Center?
Yeah, it was fine. It was, you know, nothing like I've seen so far in my career. I love how the Montreal emblem is, you know, bolted to every window, and even the taps, I think, have Montreal Impact symbols on them. So just to see that, and just to see, it's a temple for us to go and just to do our work and to, you know, work out and have lunch together and, you know, massages and all the things of that sort. But, you know, once we're all there, we know what we're doing and what's up, and we just want to, you know, represent the logo and the fans and the city as best as we can. So, obviously walking that first day, it was, you know, all new and uncharted territory, but, you know, I kind of got used to it after a couple of days and kind of made it my own.
Growing up in Langley, British Columbia, of course, British Columbia is a hotbed of soccer in this country, especially the Langley region. Over the years, there's been great players, families of players, from Martin Ash to others from the same region. For you, Joel, what was your moment, if you can pinpoint one moment in particular, where you can say you found soccer, or maybe soccer found you, or maybe the day where the passion for the beautiful game was born?
Yeah, I don't know if it was one day or one moment for me. I think it was just a combination of moments throughout my career. I think I started playing when I was 5. My mom and my dad were my first coaches, and we're a soccer family. And, you know, I got into it from a very young age and just loved it ever since that day. And I think in U13, when I made the BC provincial team and knowing I was one of the best kids in BC, that's when it really hit that, you know, I'm good at this and let's kind of see where this goes. And ever since that point, there's been moments and memories and opportunities that have opened up for me, and I taken advantage of. And so for me, I think it's not just one moment where I just fell in love with it. I think I fell in love with it as soon as, you know, the first day I kicked the ball when I was 5. And then it was just a combination of moments, obviously leading up to my signing with Montreal, that I could think back on and think back on with smiles and good memories of where the game has taken me up to this point.
I've asked you this question in person before, but of course your growth in the game in this country is paramount to what we've seen with players a la Jamie Vardy, of different position, of course, in different scale in England, at different level every year growing up, using the pyramid that is available. How important is this pyramid that you see now, from the Kitsap Pumas, PDL, the Rovers, to the Foothill and, of course, Canadian Premier League to MLS. How was your journey in this pyramid compared to maybe what it would have been 10 years ago?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, starting with the PDL, I think that gave me a great base to play during the summer when there was no season, and a way to stay fit and to stay at a really high level against, you know, the best players across North America. And obviously with the introduction of the Canadian Premier League, we needed that in this country. You know, before we would see a lot of Canadian players who would make it and, you know, would have to go overseas or, you know, the United States route to the MLS. And not a lot of our top players were staying in Canada. And now we have a league that we can call our own for guys to play in, a full-on professional league that they can, you know, join and keep sharp and play well and ultimately get more opportunities like I received. So I think the pyramid now is, you know, structured brilliantly. Obviously, I think we have a long ways to go and how well we can, you know, build this fan base and build these clubs from coast to coast. But it's an amazing start. You can already see it working because, you know, there's true talent in Canada. And this is only the beginning.
There's a lot of talent, of course, in Canada. And we've seen just in 1 year in the Canadian Premier League, a lot of talent like yourself moving on to other bigger leagues. I didn't want to say bigger in demeaning ways, but yeah, it is what it is. We've seen Tristan Borges moving to Europe, and you have a very unique perspective. You have played in three different competitions in just a few months. I don't want you to compare any of them, but how different does it feel on the pitch, example, versus New England, versus City Olympia, and maybe versus Forge? How different each game, does it feel any different each game?
Yeah, well, first off, I will go back to your point about the Canadian Premier League. Yeah, you know, being higher leagues and whatnot, the Canadian Premier League is a league of its own. I think there's massive talent and you know, they're gonna stand the test of time by themselves. And with that being said, I think, you know, the different competitions that I've had in the MLS and you know, obviously Champions League and then within the CPL, I think, to be honest, there hasn't been a massive difference. I think there's talent at all levels, no matter what leagues you come from. And you know, for me, it's been similar in a lot of ways, but also, you know, I think the MLS is obviously a bit more physical, a faster pace, and then obviously playing against Saprissa and Olympia in the Champions League, they have different styles of football as well that you have to adjust to. So, you know, I think whatever competition that we're in, whether it's Champions League or, you know, the Canadian Championship or the regular season of the MLS, it doesn't matter who we play. I think the levels are all top professional players that, are trying to prove something. So it's been fun to play in three of those different leagues and three of those different competitions in the last couple of years. But you know, for me, there's not much that separates them because the talent is so good.
Now, we appreciate your time with us today, and I just have a couple of lightning round fun questions for you to finish this interview, of course. FIFA 20 or Football Manager 20, Joel, which one is it?
FIFA 20, for sure.
That's my type of answer. I like Football Manager, but in the end, there's nothing quite like what I imagine playing FIFA 20 with the Montreal Impact and being in the game, which... You know what it feels Absolutely. Like. I don't. How's that? is that surreal? Is that surreal when you open up, example, FIFA 20 and you download the latest updates and you see your name there?
Yeah, I mean, I saw it on Twitter for the first time. Someone tweeted out that I was actually in the game now. And, you know, the curious side of me went and checked and, you know, I was in the game, which was, you know, it's a game that I played growing up. With all my friends, and you know, obviously we'd be the top players like Ronaldo, Messi, and those kind of players, and even be you know, mentioned in that game with my name with those players is an amazing feat. And it's still so surreal when I, you know, go on Montreal and I kind of see my name there. Obviously, you know, I'm on the bench right now, but I got to put myself in starting 11. But but yeah, it's just fun. It's just, and then they all, so you get friends and family from home texting you, being like, you're in FIFA, congrats. You know, it's just. Those kind of things are you know, a testament for all the hard work I put in, and yeah, it's fun.
I've had this conversation with executive of Major League Soccer, another league in this North American continent. But for someone like you, of the generation of FIFA, how important was FIFA in loving not only the game but the culture and understanding the game as a whole also?
Yeah, I think for sure for my friends and I and growing up, it was a culture thing. I think, you know, whenever you go hang out with some friends, it always, oh, do you want to play FIFA? And then, you know, whatever the latest year, we would have to get it because, you know, you want the latest guys on each team, and everyone has their teams. And it's just a fun way of just connecting. And obviously, you know, a lot of times friendships sometimes would end because we would lose and somebody would, you know, be a sore loser and things of that sort. But those are all fun times, and I'll always cherish those and cherish those memories for the rest of my life.
Your favorite pre-game meal?
Some type of carb, probably pasta. I love penne pasta. Mm-hmm. And then some type of protein, so probably chicken, and then some fruit just to get some energy in there too.
And post-game meal?
Post-game meal, probably almost around the same thing. Probably some type of carbohydrate, a little bit of protein, and then, you know, sometimes I like to have a glass of wine too.
Ooh, well, it's actually good for recovery. A little bit of alcohol is good for recovery. When you're looking at this time period, of course, with television entertainment being an essential service to keep us mental healthy in this period. What is your favorite movie, not necessarily of all time, but right now, a movie that you would highly recommend to our listeners?
Oh, favorite movie. You know, I heard the Tiger King show is buzzing right now. I haven't checked it out myself.
Oh, but, you got to, Joe.
I saw a little trailer, and it, you know, it looks a little bit too gory and disgusting for me. So those aren't really my type of movies. I'm more the comedy romance guy, I think, the action. So any action thrillers I would probably go for. I might start the Harry Potter series over again, so I might start doing that. I like the Harry Potters. But yeah, any kind of movie that you like and that you can connect to, I would go with that.
I would watch Tiger King. It's not what you expect. There's a lot of twists. It's quite interesting. I've actually went to bed really early this morning, binge watching it last night, Joel. Anyway, it is a recommendation if I had to give you one. Thank you for your time today, Joel. We wish you all the best. We hope that this second off season doesn't last too long.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, guys.
And we'll be right back after this short break.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
And we're back on Off the Woodworks. I'm Kevin Laramie. As always, thank you to the Montreal Impact and to Joel Waterman for their time today. It was a pleasure to talk to Joel Waterman. And I did mention him to him, of course, before the recording of the show, and I'm going to say it here. Joel has been present after every single game. He's really have been present for the media, open, honest, and it's really enjoyable. Joel, a great person on top of being a great player. Of course, everyone is 99%, I would say 99.9% of my encounters with players in Major League Soccer and soccer players as a whole have been great human beings. So that being said, Joel is part of the great human beings in this beautiful game. Now, before we say goodbye for this week, I am working on a project. I'm working on everyone's best top 10 Montreal Impact name players of all time. What is yours? I want to know, who's your top 10 of the Montreal Impact? You don't need an order. It doesn't have to be 1 to 10. It could be just 10 names. I want 10 names, and I'm going to do my 10 names of the Montreal Impact. Not necessarily in no particular order, but 10 names. And we'll see what we can do, and we'll talk about these 10 names. That's my goal for a special edition of Off the Works that will be coming out in the next couple of weeks. I've had a lot of your answers already on Twitter. I appreciate the time that you took to write down 10 names, and some people actually took the time to write why also, and I really appreciate that. It is a magnificent exercise to think and remember your favorite players in Major League Soccer. And thank you for your cooperation in this exercise. Let me know on Twitter at KevLarame, at Off the Woodworks, or of course on email. You can email me your top 10 sports podcasting network at gmail.com. We'll be back next week with another edition of Off the Woodworks. We will do what we can during this weird time with no soccer to continue to talk about soccer every single day. And as always, I'm Kevin Larame, and I do wish you a great soccer.